There are three illustrations of the work of the Holy Spirit. There is a well. Jesus said to the woman, when you drink, come unto me and drink. It will form in you a well. That one is salvation. The work of the Holy Spirit is salvation. And you can see, and it's the Spirit within. It doesn't, it can't help any other person except you. The inner work of the Holy Spirit to make you a Christian. Because new birth is also being born of the Spirit. Then you come to the infilling of the Spirit. When you are filled with the Spirit. In John 7:37, when he said, if anyone thirsts, come to me and drink. When you drink, when you are baptized with the Holy Spirit, river starts in you. It's not a well. And I think the book you're reviewing should be pointing out some of these things to you. Am I correct? Rivers. Not well. Well is borehole to give you salvation, to quench your spirit, your thirst. But that is first level. There are three levels here. So now rivers can flow from you. There is a third level. A third level you see everywhere all through the Bible, and that's part of what Joel was talking about. If I were to read Joel, why he taught us to fast. Being hungry is not enough. Why he taught us to fast. When you start and you go after God and meet those conditions, what will come is rain. Rain. So the river we carry within us is good, but both those who have river still need rainfall. Both those who have well and river still need rainfall, because rain is another level. Rain cannot be contained in a person. What rain brings is flood. Tidal waves. That's what Nigeria needs now. Zechariah 10 verse 1 said, acts of the Lord rain in the time of the latter rain. You know, I told you yesterday that there is a river that flows from deep within, and there is a fountain that keeps my soul from sin. It's inside me. Come to the waters, there is a fresh supply. There is a river that never shall run dry. Okay. Now, there are a number of pictures God created. Remember that Romans 1 said that anything you want to know about God, all the things you are learning in the scriptures, including his eternal Godhead, there are illustrations in the things that are created. No matter how complex anything is, there is something in creation. All spiritual lessons, there is something in creation that explains it. So that's why we're using water now. So if I want to go up from water and take you into the tabernacle, just to separate the anointing within from the anointing upon. You know that inside the tabernacle, you go to the holiest of holies. There is glory sitting on top of the mercy seat. The high priest goes to see. Please show that picture again, where the tabernacle has fire on top of it. You see this one?
is the one that gives light to the whole nation of Israel. 3 million people. And whenever this one lifts up, the whole army starts moving. It covers the whole nation in the night like pillars of fire, and in the day like pillars of cloud. That's the spirit upon, there is spirit upon, there is spirit within. Yet if you go inside the same tabernacle, you see Shekinah on the message seat. So you see, there are different pictures to help us understand it. There is something I have experienced again and again. It is when there is a fusion between the spirit within, PCJ, and the spirit upon. Two of them have exploded and they meet. At that moment, you have in the temple what the Bible wrote, like it happened during Solomon. They said the glory filled the house, the priest could not stand. When Moses dedicated the tabernacle in Exodus chapter 40, it happened. Not even Moses could enter. I have read in the book of Revelation, when it happens in heaven, even inside heaven, nobody is able to enter the tabernacle. It happens there. Churches needs to experience that, and nations needs to do experience that. So let me give you a little illustration, another picture of what happens. First of all, you see the difference between the spirit within and the spirit upon. Then you see what happens when the two walk hand in hand, the kind of explosion that occurs. And it's when that explosion occurs that you say a man has come to, when you have the two functioning, that you say you have the fullness of the spirit. Because Jesus had all the three. In his birth, he had the spirit within. Because Luke chapter 1 said he was born or conceived of the Holy Ghost. And not having the original sin or any sin, he didn't need to repent or give his life or get born again to receive the indwelling. If there was no fall of man, all of us would have had that one from birth. So when you are born again the second time, you get that. And for the disciples, after he rose from the dead, he breathed on them and said, receive you the Holy Spirit. And that's when they got that. That's the spirit within. But he carried that for 30 years. He didn't heal one person. Didn't open one blind eye. Couldn't help anybody. But he helped him live his life as a son of God. Because that's what he's meant for. It's called the believer's anointing, the individual anointing. But what about the river? So all Jesus carried from the time he was born, maybe you should even show them Luke 1 as I'm quoting it. You should be showing them. The angel said to Mary, the spirit of the Lord shall come upon thee, the power of the Most High shall overshadow thee. Therefore that which shall be conceived of thee will be son of God. And the Holy Spirit also comes in the believer to conceive the same thing, produce Christ's nature. When you give your life to Christ, it is the Holy Spirit that did the work of regeneration in you. The blood cleansed your sin. The Holy Spirit recreated you. But now Jesus had to go for the river because the well was not enough. He carried this well with him for 30 years. He didn't heal anybody. couldn't raise the dead, couldn't open blind eyes, didn't do nothing. So to go for the well, he went to John for baptism. John baptized him in water. This is Luke chapter 3, and you can show them what I'm saying. After, the Bible said, while everybody was coming to be baptized, they get baptized and they go. Because water baptism is different from Holy Spirit baptism. But when he came, they baptized him in water. He came out of the water. Then he began to pray. You see, his prayer. I told you, his hunger and prayer. If anyone thirsts, let him come unto me and drink. There has to be hunger, thirst. Then the man has to follow that hunger with seeking God. Now, I know people can lay hands on you and you can get the baptism of the Holy Spirit. But truly, Jesus didn't go for any laying on hands. While he was praying, the heaven was opened and the Holy Spirit descended upon him like a dove. And from that river opened up. What he was promising others started happening in his own life. Now he told his disciples they were not to get the Holy Spirit within because they have not yet saved. But after, Jesus has not been glorified, but after that they will get it. When he rose from the dead, he breathed on them and they got the well. Nobody was born again until the resurrection. And somebody said to me, but he gave them power. They were going around doing healings and all that. That's exactly, if you want to understand how the Old Testament prophets operated. And I can demonstrate it here. Get somebody that is not born again, pass the anointing on him, and he will go and heal people. I've explained to you that it's induced magnetism. It's like taking a rod and putting it in fire, and when heat has caught enough with it, you can take that rod and go and be, you know, putting fire on people and hurting people. It's like boiling water in a kettle. And when the water is boiled, you can take the water and go and make your pap, make your gari. But after a while, it will cool down because it's anointing upon. The man doesn't have it as a source. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Even this Bible, if I rub it on my hair or rub it on some clothes, I can go out, it will be magneting things. It's induced magnetism. That power they operated where he was here is transferred anointing. They don't yet have the Holy Spirit. I can pass it into this cloth and I can even give it to somebody who will go and be hitting people and they'll be getting healed. Doesn't mean that this guy is filled with the Holy Spirit. He came on a donkey. Doesn't mean donkey got born again. And that's not the only time. There was another time he came on a set of animals who were carrying the ark. The ark was behind, and the animals knew their direction. They became super intelligent. The Philistines were following. They said, if these animals find their way back to Israel, we know that the God of Israel is animal. Say, animal is under anointing now. I can pass that thing on a goat and they will be fall under the power. And I'm not joking. I've tried it on an animal that was sick, and the animal got healed. Oh, yes. It's anointing upon. It's different from the river. The river is from within, it's infilling. Everyone say infilling. I say infilling. Infilling of the Holy Ghost. That's what we're talking about. This thing now, from now, it flows from you. It flows from you. It flows from you. You drink, but then the drink bursts open fountain inside you. And that's what God gave us in the New Testament. It's better than what they had in the old. But look at all the mighty works they did in the old. So what happened to Jesus after he got the river? John, he was praying and the Holy Ghost came upon him. And I don't have the time to take you to John, the account of John. It's not just it came upon him. Maybe after a few minutes, he flies away. No, the river doesn't fly. The river is inside you. The river doesn't fly away.
when the Holy Spirit came upon him, he tabernacled on him. In camp meeting, I was giving some explanation on that. Lord. You can show them in John. I knew not him. John is talking about the sign he was given to know the Messiah and the initiator of the New Testament. He was given a sign. Because all through the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit come upon people, but he lived. Oh Lord, some people are confused. Okay, let me help them. Yeah. You have to go and watch some of the other videos so that you don't get confused. Some of you that even joined yesterday night, or maybe you're coming in this morning, you're meeting the class that is almost through. We met Dr. Kurtz now talking, and this is a class that started building. But let me help you. 1 Samuel. Chapter 17. Go to where they anointed David. Is that verse what? 16:13. Okay, beautiful. Then Samuel took a horn of oil, and this is how all the Old Testament guys operated, anointing upon. Took a horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brethren, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. Why does he have to keep coming upon him every time he needs to fight or do certain things with the anointing? He came upon him from that day forward. You see, but for Jesus at the baptism, he came once and stayed. So this is what you see in the Old Testament. The hand of the Lord was upon me, and he carried me. This is how the prophets talk. And you know that some of these prophets, sometimes it's only 3 times in their lifetime, this hand of the Lord came on them. Some of them maybe a number of times in their lifetime. Like Abraham, you can count how many visitations he had from the Lord in the book of Genesis. Most of the time, he will end up building an altar after each one. Someone like Samson, the scripture will read, and the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon Samson. That's the Spirit upon. There is a difference between the New Testament and all of this. So the Spirit of the Lord came upon him from that day forward. Anytime, because he's not an anointed man, there is need to use him, or there is need for a work of power, the thing will come on David. You know, I was checking Samson, how many times they said, the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon Samson. The Spirit of the Lord came mightily. And I asked the Lord, last time he came upon him, and this time he came upon him, why does he have to keep coming? What about the last one? He said, because that last one, when he finished killing the lion, he lifted. And if you check the tabernacle, the same thing. They need to move. Moses will say, arise, O God, and your enemies, right? That thing will move. And when they finish, they get to a place. He said, return, O God, to your resting place, and the thing will settle. He doesn't stay permanently. But of course, for the nation of Israel, there is that covering on them that stayed with them for 40 years. And I'm looking forward to a revival that can last for 40 years. Not 3 years, not 6 years. National move. But the difference between the New Testament, I'm talking about the river. I have gone beyond the well. The well is inside and it stays. But now, what about the river? The river doesn't come from heaven. You drink it first, the first time, it now goes inside you and opens a fountain. So things like praying in the Spirit and all of this is unlocking, is pumping water. Pumping water. Not from heaven, from the temple. How many of you have read the book of Ezekiel that there is a river? The river of life, the source of that river is from the temple of God, from under the altar. How many of you have read that? The same way you are the temple of God, there is a river that flows from. So show them the river. When Jesus got baptized in the Spirit, it happened in Luke chapter 3. But John gave an explanation. Go to that John. He said, I knew him not. I didn't know who the Messiah is. I didn't know who he was. But the man that said, remember, he is the forerunner. He's the forerunner of Jesus. The man that sent me said, there is a sign for recognizing him. And that sign is the sign that will follow the rest of the New Testament. Because he came to unlock the New Testament. And what he came to introduce now took the whole program to another level. Remember that he said only about John. That was the middleman between the old and the new. He said, of all men born of women, none was as great as John the Baptist. But the smallest person in the New Testament is greater than him. It shocked me. It shocked me to my bones. John, greater than Moses, greater than Enoch, greater than Abraham, greater than Elijah. There is a reason. He is the one that witnessed the introduction of a new order. So when you study anointing, it's beyond what happened in the Old Testament. What happened in the Old Testament is still happening. The anointing upon is still here. But what makes the New Testament exceptional is what we carry inside us. Hey! Hey! So this is what John said. I knew him not. Because if this account is not there, what everybody would think is the Holy Spirit came upon him like he came upon Samson and lifted whenever he liked. So that's what everybody will have concluded. He has come on Jesus. Then you'll be looking in the rest of the gospel to see the next time he came on him. But you never see and the Spirit came upon Jesus again. Because that was not the come upon of the Old Testament order. I will show you that one later. It also happened to Jesus, but I will show it to you. So John said, I knew him not. But he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said to me, upon whom you shall see the Spirit descending and what? Descending and what? What did Jesus promise us? The comforter that will abide with you forever. Did he say the comforter will come on you and vanish? He said the comforter when he gives him, he will abide. Descending and what? Remaining on him. He said, or whosoever you see the Spirit descending and remaining, this is the person that baptizes with the Holy Ghost. And anybody that has that experience can impart the Holy Ghost by laying on our hands. Doc, this imparting the Holy Spirit is not hard to understand. If I have fire in my candle, and you don't have fire, but you have a candle. Remember, the candle is the human spirit, but there is no fire in your own. All I have to do is, and when I give you fire, my fire does not reduce. Because I told you there is a river that flows from deep within. There is a fountain that cures my soul from sin. Come to the waters. There is a fresh supply. There is a river that never shall run dry. There is a river. It flows from the temple within. There is a fountain. That's what keeps me holy and living right. Come to the water. There is always a fresh supply. There is a river that never shall run. Magabago, Kobolo. Lift up your hands, pray in the Spirit for a few minutes. Megere, Shegamo, Kenimagio. He's here again. He's here again. Gadegaba. There is a river that flows from deep within. There is a fountain that frees my soul from sin. Come to the water, there is a fresh supply. There is a river that never shall run dry, that flows for deep within. There is a river that never shall run dry. Hey, hey, gentlemen, come. You that came from Omaha, yeah, come. Lift up your hands. Lusu, Lusu, Lusu. Binakuta, Vehovi, Kevahu, Lus. Bring him here again. Your ministry will explode left and right. It is fountain. Bade, Gabedu, Su, Su. Spirit, there will be enlargements, 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 enlargements. All of you in the front there, lift up your hands. Enlargements, enlargements, lift up your hands. Is that fine? I'm looking for. It's not. Akuta. The tumor dies. Sula, bring him. Bring him up again. One more time. We're going to have healing service. I'm going to teach you on the healing anointing, and we're going to unlock people. Listen. Stressed. The tumor to die. Leave him. Leave him. In the name of Jesus, you are free, my friend. Go back on Monday. They will find that thing in your brain. Come to the fountain. There is always a fresh supply. That never shall. Holy Spirit, thou art welcome in this place. Holy Spirit, thou art welcome in this place. Okay, you may be seated for a few minutes. I need to show you, because we have to go beyond precepts and knowledge.
to experience. And we have to go beyond that to demonstration. The talk is not enough to win our world.